Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk.
What up, everybody? JP Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. This is a snow day edition. We were not able to get together in person because of, I'm going to say, at least 8 inches in Bethesda. There's a lot of snow on the ground. Mitch and Pete are on the phone. What's up, boys? How we doing?
What's going on? We got 9 inches out by my place.
Okay.
I'm not sure how many inches we have because I barely looked outside, but I'm sure there's a lot of snow out here in D.C. as well.
All right, so that is a major question I have for Pete later in the podcast. Like, when I was 24 and living in D.C. and single, like, a snow day would have been a major go-out day. And it sounds like Pete stayed inside all day. So
it's definitely a holiday.
Yeah, we're going to get to the bottom of, have things changed or is Pete lame?
Cool. Can't wait for that segment. I'll be anxiously awaiting it. And I'm sure you guys will decide that the answer is I'm lame, no matter what I say.
No, it's possible things have changed. We actually have a full list of real stuff to discuss before we get to have things changed or is Pete lame, brought to you by Tanner's Lazy Boy. But I want to start. Yo, we are only, I'm not a math guy, either 4 or 5 days away. January 17th is our event at William Jeffries Tavern in Arlington on Columbia Pike. It's going to be quite a good time. We're going to take your questions. We're going to record a live podcast. We hope all you guys can come. January 17th, 7 o'clock, William Jeffries Tavern. Also, Mitch, I haven't told you this. I texted Pete. So Lauren, my wife, gave me a hard time. She's like, really? You planned a podcast party 3 weeks after our baby was born? And I told her two things. I said, one, this is not a party. It's a live podcast recording. Which she just rolled.
That's the perfect way to describe it.
She just rolled her. She rolled her eyes at that. And two, I said, you know, what the hell do you want me to do? The pod is life. And
how hard did she roll her eyes at that part?
She kind of like hit me at that point.
I believe it.
But she said she called her mom and is asking her mom to stay over Thursday night. Now, we're not sure her mom's going to be able to, but if her mom can stay over, Lauren kind of told me she doesn't want me to come home. Which could mean sleep over at Pete's house.
Oh, please make it happen.
I mean, that's...
I'm on board with that.
That's pretty juicy, right?
That's
that has all of the juice.
All right, so we'll see what happens. She also might have been... Who knows, dude? We're in a very... We're in a very volatile state over at the Finley house right now. All right. But
if we sleep over, are you going to leave the windows open and the TV on for us?
Yeah, I'm going to replicate it. I'm even going to leave like my front door just wide open for whoever wants to come in. Just make it like my sleepover at your house.
You would be way too nervous to do that.
Oh, I know. Absolutely. But actually, having Mitch around, I would feel much safer. Like, I feel more safe with Mitch and an open front door than I do a locked door and no Mitch.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
high praise.
I don't know what the hell to say to that.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So Friday afternoon, or Friday anyway, Kevin Sheehan breaks news on his podcast that Bruce Allen will be back as team president of the Redskins, and that Bruce Allen, in fact, is going to gain some power, I guess, to make it a true Washington story, to take over some of the business responsibilities that came open when Brian LaFemina and a number of other executives were fired from Redskins Park a few weeks ago. So Kevin's a good friend. Good for Kevin for breaking that story. Also, there's a bunch of people out there that think Cooley is the one that tells Kevin stuff. Let me tell you this firsthand, that Sheehan is wired over at Redskins Park. He has a lot of information, plenty of it that he doesn't go public with. And I think if people are missing the boat if they think Cooley is Kevin's source. So that's one thing. The second thing, Les Carpenter over at the Washington Post was smart and got Tony Wiley, who is the Skins' head of PR. His actual title is VP of Communications, but he's in charge of all the public statements that come out of there. And Les got Wiley on the record talking about Bruce. And here's the quote, and I think this is pretty interesting. This is Tony Wiley talking about Bruce Allen as team president. There was never any question about this. Of course, he's coming back. And I want to start there because to me, I saw some people kind of lampoon Tony's quote. That is absolutely what I thought all along. I never thought Bruce was going anywhere. I know there was the discussion of maybe he would be reassigned. I still think it's possible promotions are coming for some of the other guys, for Eric Schaefer or Kyle Smith. But we've been saying on this podcast for months that Bruce Allen's not going anywhere. I know a lot of fans really thought there was momentum behind the Fire Bruce Allen hashtag. And it's tough because you don't want fans to feel like, you know, their collective voice isn't heard. But I don't think that hashtag had the impact they were hoping. I want both your reactions to this. I want to start with Pete because, you know, this was Pete's first kind of year on the beat and getting to know what was going on over there. And I want to start with Pete on his reaction to knowing that Bruce is coming back and kind of to the team's reaction that, like, yeah, dude, he was always coming back. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think on Kevin's podcast, he said that the Fire Bruce Allen movement is something that Snyder and Bruce are aware of, and they couldn't really care less about it. And Bruce and Dan, they're very comfortable with their relationship, and they clearly think what they're doing is right because they got rid of LaFemina and those guys. So the fact that Tony said, of course, this was going to happen, there was never a doubt. I think it just shows that, you know, whether fans or this team looks like it's going in the right direction, Dan and Bruce are happy with it, and in fact, Bruce is going to get more power on the business side. So it's maybe disappointing, but like JP's been saying all along, this was never really a question.
So, well said, Pete. I didn't know if you'd have a different take, because I think Mitch is going to say the same thing, especially Mitch has been out in Ashburn a long time and has seen how these operations tend to go. But Mitchell, your reaction to everything?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same as you guys are saying. Once LaFemina went, you know, you knew that Bruce was coming back, and they're talking about his role being expanded to the business side. It's not really being expanded.
Yeah,
it was totally taken back once those guys were brought in last year, but it's the same role that he's had since he's been here. So I know it's frustrating for fans to feel like that hashtag didn't have maybe the effect that they wanted on him, but once they decided to get rid of the new C-level employees that they had all brought in to quote-unquote fix things, you know, Bruce was coming back, and not only was he coming back, but he was going to be back in the role that he's been serving as since he got here.
I was surprised by, like, how a lot of people were like, and dude, I'll even say this, our website, I didn't like the story, but the headline, I don't know if it was our website or the Post website, but like some people made it seem like Bruce Allen got a promotion. There's no promotion Bruce can get other than owner. Like, the dude is in charge, and I don't know how to make that any clearer. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Like, he's in
It makes sense, and, like, it makes sense that he's in charge of both the football side and the business side. And you don't want to say it so negatively, but, like, this is the way it is, fans. Like, Redskins fans need to maybe not get over their frustration with it, but at least accept the fact that this is the way things are being run in Ashburn, and it's not changing this year, and it's not changing in the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and we've talked a lot about how that 6-3 start is something that they're pointing to, and they're saying, hey, this was proof that we were going in the right direction, so maybe that's another reason why they're so confident bringing Bruce back, or at least letting him stay in the role, is that for the first half of the season, this team looked like, hey, there might be building something.
Totally. And I think anybody should holster their frustrations. Like, hell, if you're mad, be mad. Like, you have a right to be. The team has absolutely underperformed during Bruce Allen's tenure. I have said this before. I think you can separate out the Shanahan years from really Bruce's record, because Mike was in charge. It was written contractually that he was in charge. But we're splitting hairs. They haven't won enough. You're talking about a team that has no playoff wins. None. Since Bruce Allen's been there. People that listen to this podcast know that I like Jay Gruden as a person. I think he's a great dude, and I think he's a really good offensive mind. But he's been here 5 years and hasn't won a playoff game. Like, fans are entirely allowed to be frustrated by this. Like, you can talk about anything you want. Especially right now, we're going to talk about, you know, kind of the divisional weekend and the Eagles and the Cowboys. But, like, winning playoff games is what this shit is about. And this team is nowhere close. Maybe they were before Alex got hurt. I don't know. But in no way do I think fans don't deserve to be frustrated.
Be clear, I wasn't saying that fans should not be frustrated. I'm just saying there needs to come an acceptance. You can be frustrated and voice your frustration and voice your anger, but understand that you know, a social media campaign like the hashtag or isn't changing the way the front office in Ashburn by the Redskins is being run.
Okay. Pete, you want to add anything?
I do feel for the fans, though, because after a year like this where there's so many controversies and the stadium is emptying by the time the year's over, and people who want Bruce out and they hear that he's coming back and regaining power that he lost in the past, it's almost like, what will it take for this guy to be out of here? 59-84-1 in his tenure, 2 playoff appearances, no wins. It is kind of, we've reached a point where it's like, when will this ever end? How bad does it have to get before it can turn around?
Here's what I'll say. Nothing ends until there's a new, until there are shovels in the ground for a new stadium. Because after losing Brian LaFemina and the guys that had experience getting stadium deals done on other cities, they need Bruce to get this deal done. And I know that might be a tough pill for a lot of fans to swallow, but kind of to Mitch's point, I think once you have a all-the-way official announcement where a governor and a mayor and Dan Snyder and who knows are cutting a ribbon and actually putting a shovel in the ground for a new stadium, I think that could signal something, but I don't see it happening before then.
Right, until you see that smiling picture with the gold shovel and the red ribbon that everyone's going to cut, I mean, you're right, it's not going to change. And the one thing, if you want to take any sort of positive away from it, is that Bruce seems to have at least some level of communique with, you know, the city of Washington, D.C., and they're working on potentially trying to get that RFK site, which seems to be the fan favorite, you know, location. So, you know, for all that there is to be frustrated about the football side, hopefully he comes through on the business side and does something good for the future of the Redskins as far as stadium and land deals go.
Right. Yeah, my natural reaction would be, well, why can't he just stay on the business side and do that and bring in Mines or let Kyle Smith or Eric Schaefer on the football side? But I also understand that's not how it works. And as long as Bruce is around, he is going to be kind of touching all bases of this organization.
Two things. I want to apologize for this audio. Mitch and I are hearing this like crazy alien internet tech noise. Pete is not hearing it, so hopefully you guys don't hear it, but I'm going to publicly address it because it's driving me nuts.
My question, JP, did you see in the news this week that there was a repetitive noise from 1.5 billion light years away or whatever that they, you know, that they're not sure. The space scientists aren't sure what it is. It's whatever is going on in the background here. That's what that is.
Mitch, I have no idea what you're talking about, and I know
what you're talking about, Mitch.
I kind of
you've been in baby land, JP. I understand you haven't been keeping up with the news as much.
That's okay. I think it's the aliens are starting their own podcast.
Yo, they're competing with us. In the last year, we've gotten a lot of competition. We've been able to hold our own, but I don't know if we can fight off the aliens, dude.
I don't know if we can either.
They have really good shtick in outer space.
So we're clear on the audio issues. If there are audio issues, Mitch and I are convinced it's Pete's fault because he uses cheap T-Mobile. Is that clear?
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, T-Mobile is probably the issue. I don't think it's my fault because I'm sitting in my silent room, but sure, just blame it on me.
You're the alien, Pete.
That's what I'm here for.
I want to be sure we thank the good folks at Orsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. You should ride with them. During all this snow, I've been driving my GMC Acadia that I bought at Orsman Chevy GMC down in Alexandria from my guy Bob Biaggi. It's awesome. Is it bad that I don't know if I have four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive, but I've had zero problems in the snow?
I mean, if you're having no problems, then I wouldn't worry about it, but probably figure that out sometime.
I kind of like.
What's the difference between four-wheel drive and all-wheel drive? Isn't it the same thing?
I have no idea. Mitch?
Honestly, I'm not a car guy.
Well, like, I don't know. If you have four-wheel drive, you only have four wheels, so I feel like that means you have all-wheel drive.
Fellas, I'm going to go out on a limb and say we sound pretty stupid.
This is embarrassing. Oh, my God.
The Alien Podcast is gaining big ground on us right now. We're losing our base in Brooklyn and down in the Raleigh-Durham area as we speak.
Yep.
So,
as long as we keep our spot on Jupiter, we're good.
Yeah. All right. Jupiter, Florida, or Jupiter the planet? What the hell are you talking about?
Jupiter the planet with the Alien Podcast coming.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So this is how I want to wrap up the Bruce Allen segment before we talk about division weekend and everything. So I got a text from someone we all know very well, another beat person, when the Bruce Allen stuff was kind of happening. I didn't even know that was kind of a story that day. I was probably, like, changing diapers or something. And I got a text from someone we all know well, and it said, "Guy with job keeps job. Hysteria ensues." And I'm just like, and as soon as I got that, I kind of knew what was happening. But I thought that was pretty funny. It's tough because in our business, when somebody is embattled and there are fans upset, and fans are always upset, but there are a lot, you know, we've read the record. There are no playoff wins. There are plenty of things to point to. Like, it is news when you know somebody is staying. I mean, hell, I reported that Gruden is staying. Like, that is news. So I get why it was a story. I just thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it was. It was same thing as your Gruden thing, guy with job keeps job. But it's a story because there's, you know, because there's the movement and there's the angst and everything else. But it's reverting back to the way it was, you know, whatever it was 6 months ago prior to the new C-level guys.
I want to talk about the Cowboys and the Eagles. Both teams lost. Both teams made it to division weekend. The Redskins haven't been to the divisional round of the playoffs, I think, since 1999. Do I have that right? Or no?
They won in 05.
So when they lost in Seattle?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so they lost the one. Yeah. Watching, and here's the crazy part, is we'll go back to them being 6-3 in week 10 and the Cowboys and Eagles both being 4-5. We've talked at length about that night in Tampa. We're all there kind of like, oh, man, we got to get ready for a home playoff game. And so much has changed since Alex Smith went down. I don't think we have to keep revisiting how it all went bad for the Skins and that the Cowboys got better and the Eagles certainly got better. And it's entirely possible the Eagles are better with Nick Foles. I think that's a real conversation at some point. But I think what matters more is looking ahead to next year. So I tweeted something Saturday night after the Cowboys lost, just saying that, like, hey, I know the Cowboys lost to the Rams, but that looks like a team that could definitely win the NFC East next season, which – am I crazy? Do you guys not see that? The Cowboys are kind of loaded. Like, they have some money issues. They certainly have some big-time roster issues for 2020. But in 2019, everybody's coming back. Maybe not to Marcus Lawrence.
I definitely see that, but I'm just going to look at the playoff bracket from last year. I'm just thinking of a team like the Jaguars. You thought they would be set for success and repetitive year in, year out winning. So I'm just not sure. I mean, the Cowboys, of course, look like a problem. Zeke's young. Dak's okay. The defense has those linebackers that'll be around for a while, but it could really change in one offseason. Who knows?
Fine.
Injuries could just as easily derail them like they did the Redskins season.
Okay.
Like they're particularly deep, but yeah, they do look like they're set up nicely if you on paper, if everyone's 100% healthy.
Well, all right, just hold on then. So let me ask this then. So the Eagles have done it. Now, they didn't win the division this year, but they got back into the playoffs, won a game in the playoffs. You guys see the Eagles as a return threat next year?
Absolutely.
So what the hell is the difference? That's what I don't understand. Because they went on the run last year?
No, I think they're both threats, but I mean, the NFC East, all the teams look like they're in okay spots. I don't think saying the Cowboys are a threat to win next year is a stretch by any imagination.
I got much heat on Twitter.
I just think the NFC East, it changes every year. I mean, we haven't had a repeat winner, and I'm looking on Wikipedia, so forgive me.
2004,
but forever.
2004.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's going to change hands. Maybe the Giants next year are better.
Better draft.
But I think it's just safe to say that out of the four teams in the NFC East, I think the Redskins right now are probably the one you'd be least confident in picking and having a good year next season.
I
agree. They're probably right if we look at the team right now. But there's, like I've been saying, there's a lot of offseason to happen, and the Redskins have major moves that they need to make. But the Eagles have a huge question mark at quarterback right now. What the hell do you do with Wentz and Foles?
Dude, I don't know. If Foles had beaten the Saints, they would have had real trouble. I don't know what you do.
If you're the Eagles, do you flip Wentz for Antonio Brown?
Dude, if you can make that happen.
Whoa.
I mean, that is serious juice, man. I don't know. If you can trade Wentz and you get Brown and a second or something.
Roethlisberger and Wentz in Pittsburgh for however long, that'd be kind of wacky. Like, that would send shockwaves around everywhere.
Unless Roethlisberger's done.
Right.
Oh, that would be a train wreck, dude.
Yeah,
Roethlisberger didn't like them drafting Mason Rudolph.
Right. I don't think you'd think too kindly with Carson Wentz having a locker next to him.
Right.
I think also we can all agree there's a pretty clear, the four teams that are playing in the conference finals weekend are far and away the four best teams in the NFL. Correct?
Yeah. What's crazy is the team most people probably think is the fourth best is the Patriots. You know,
right, yeah.
I feel pretty good because I don't know what conversation it was. I don't know if it was on air or not, but somebody was talking about like Super Bowl teams and who they're picking. And I was just like, you know, I think it's a little premature to count out the Pats. And at least for one game against the Chargers, I feel pretty good about that.
Definitely. But I was going to say, if you look at both the Eagles and the Cowboys, were pretty thoroughly dominated. Now, the Eagles game ended up being kind of close.
They were 14-0. You can't say they were dominated.
In the first quarter, they had 14 points, and they had less than 100 yards the rest of the game. They didn't do anything.
Yeah. I mean,
they didn't move the ball. They didn't move the ball at all.
Dude, they were on a potential game-winning drive, and that ball goes through Alshon Jeffrey's hands before it's intercepted.
Just look at the stats after those first 14 points.
Yeah. Here's what I will say.
The defense played well against the Saints, but, I mean, that offense did nothing, and the Cowboys were a sieve against the Rams running game.
Yeah. What I will say for sure is that the teams that won ran the hell out of the football. As much as we want to make people want to scream about running on first down and being better passing teams, running the football in January wins football games, man, unquestionably.
Not only that, the superstars on those four teams were superstars.
Yeah.
I mean, the individual performances that you saw between the running backs on the Rams and Michael Thomas it was just crazy.
Yeah, that's the one thing I've kind of noticed the most of these playoffs is when you're looking at these upper echelon teams, they have guys who could just take over and be big-time difference makers, and I really think that's a player the Redskins are lacking. I mean, Adrian Peterson was great this year. Jonathan Allen's really good. Ryan Kerrigan's pretty consistent, but I don't think any of those guys are A-plus, go-make-a-play-and-change-this-entire-game type players.
Well, Pete, I am sure you did not mean to do this, but you just set the table for me. That's why I think Kyler Murray has to be in play at 15, because he is the first kind of guy that, if he's right, could be that type of player for the Skins. Because whoever they draft at 15, you'd like to think is that person. But we have a listener sent an email in that I'm going to have Pete read. Want to thank the good folks at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. You guys should do the same. So before we get to the listener email, Pete, hopefully you have it ready.
Yep.
Pretty interesting. Of the four QBs in the final four, for lack of a better word, you have Breeze, who makes a boatload of money. You have Tom Brady, who I think he's only making $15 million a year. Only is obviously relative, but for an NFL icon, that is really chump change. I mean, think about it. That's half of what Kirk Cousins made this year. So let that settle in. And then you have rookie deals for quarterbacks makes a huge difference. Obviously, Goff and Mahomes are – Mahomes is a possibly transcending player. I think Goff is a good player playing for a great coach in a really good system. But there is something to a rookie deal for a quarterback. Pete, read that email.
This is from Steve Doctor. He emailed this to JP last week after our big Kyler Murray discussion. And I think the part – that's most relevant I'll read. He says, your discussion on drafting QB first round is interesting. I throw these comments into the discussion. I know it will come up again. And he says, I believe the risk reward of drafting QBs has gotten more favorable. If you compare the cost of the quarterback position with an established QB versus hitting it right in the draft, I believe it gives you close to $20 million to spend on other positions. The math changed once they established the rookie pay scale. The positions to draft versus the ones to go after in free agency has shifted. And yeah, I understand. I'm still on the side of the debate with Mitch, even though he doesn't really want me to be on this side with him, that drafting quarterbacks.
You're just a bad debater, that's all.
Okay, well, let me talk here for a second. I understand that drafting a quarterback I still don't think is the right move, and I reserve the right to change my opinion in the offseason as we talk more, but right now I'm still on that side. But I do know that with the way the Redskins' depth chart is at quarterback and all the money they have tied up in Alex Smith, that really the only way to address it is to get a cheap rookie. However, I still think maybe getting one in the third or fourth round is the way to go instead of a first round. But yes, Steve is right. The pay scale and getting a cheap contract under center is really important for everybody, and especially the Redskins.
Mitchell?
I don't disagree with you. I agree that you need a cheap quarterback to on the rookie pay scale and or whatever in terms of getting your most bang for your buck. My point being that if you have the guy for four seasons or five, let's say, those are five precious seasons. That's a small window to win in. And if the rest of the team isn't ready to win, then you're wasting one of the first, you're wasting a season or two of your quote unquote quarterback, leaving that window. That window is now diminished to three seasons, and then whatever you end up doing with the contract, with a contract after that. So I agree that you do need that. Getting a young quarterback cheap is the best way to build your team, but if you're going to end up wasting a season or two because you're got because the rest of the team isn't ready to win yet, then you're shortening your own window instead of waiting a season, prolonging it one more season, getting your guy next year and moving forward from there.
Okay. I wanted to let you both speak. My head is going to explode with this incredibly circular argument. You both keep saying get a cheap quarterback. You know the problem with cheap quarterbacks is they're not good. You need a good quarterback. And if they have costs, and if that cost is a first-round pick, that's the cost. And again, I am not caping for Kyler Murray, but your guys' stance that you can't take a first-round quarterback is so asinine. Mitch, and I love you, and I respect you, and Pete, I love you, but it's nuts to me, Mitch, that you keep going back to this team was good, this team was 6-3 in week 10, they were really right there, and now you're like, they have no chance going forward, why would you waste a couple years of a kid's contract? Like none of this adds up. So we can turn the page, but I just threw a bunch of jabs, so I'll let you both respond.
There were significant injuries and deficiencies that we saw build and holes that needed to be filled, especially over those last few weeks. And those holes, can't win with two no-name safeties off the street. You're not going to win without addressing the guard position. You're not going to win without getting yourself some sort of playmaker. And this is all with the assumption that Darius Geis is going to step in and be this superstar running back that everyone thinks he's going to be right away. You don't know what you have out of Darius Geis coming off an ACL, coming off never playing in the NFL before. There are a lot of question marks that you need to answer before you can go forward. Now, if free agency and things seem to be turning and you get great bang for your buck at particular positions and AP comes back for a reasonable contract that can let you move forward, then maybe that's something that you can address. But you have to take care of these big holes that were shown and occurred after the 6-3 start.
Pete, I'm going to let you respond because Mitch just said a whole bunch of nothing, so it's your chance.
Okay, no pressure here. I'm just also worried that if you bring in a first-round quarterback and you invest a lot in him, and then next year things don't go well, you go 6-10 and Jay Gruden's on the way out, then you kind of have a mismatch of, all right, you have one regime drafted this quarterback and you're bringing in another regime. Will they match up? It just seems kind of tenuous right now, and I don't like the idea of having to adjust on the fly. And if you bring in a totally new coaching staff, will they like the quarterback that was drafted the year before them? And I'm just looking at first-round quarterbacks on NFL.com, and you see there's been a lot of hits, of course, but you look at a guy like Jameis Winston with the Bucks. That team's kind of been in no man's land for a while because he hasn't really panned out, and the team around him isn't that great, and it can really stall your growth as a franchise if you miss on a first-rounder and the pieces aren't there around him.
But you know what else helps your growth, Pete? Having an effing quarterback.
Okay. I was going to say milk.
We're going to move on. I can't keep doing this with you two. Because I'm going to lose my hair. It's the only thing that keeps me employed is having nice hair. I cannot keep doing this with you two. But please keep emailing me real opinions that make sense. What was Pete? What was the dude's name? Steve?
Steve Doctor.
Steve Doctor. You know what? He must be a doctor because he's making effing sense. You two are speaking out of 100 sides of your mouth. What we talked about with Bruce Allen is that, hey, man, you might not like it. We understand that, but that's the way it's going to be. You guys are so concerned about what's going to happen in 2022 on the fifth possible year of some rookie's deal that you're ignoring in 2019. This team more than likely needs a quarterback to play. And I would love to see Colt McCoy go out there, play 16 games, light it up, play well, because I think he has the ability to play well in Jay Gruden's offense, but there's so much injury history there that you got to wonder if that's possible. So, before I get excited here...
Let me jump in real quick.
Oh, God.
No, I've had plenty of people reach out to me on various social media platforms saying they agree with me, so if you're imploring for emails for yourself, mitchell.tischler@nbcuni.com, and I am more than happy to read your reasonable emails that agree with me.
Yeah, and you can CC me on there, phail2189@gmail. Me and Mitch will congratulate you for being on the smart side of the opinions.
For goodness sakes, to the bosses at NBC Sports Washington that listen to this, can we get Pete an NBC email so he doesn't have to say his Gmail on the podcast?
I have one. It's just hard for me to check when I'm not in the office.
Oh, all right. It's like when you want to have lunch and can't make it in.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I want to be able to read my emails when I'm having lunch at home.
Oh, Pete. All right. We're going to move on because you two are – normally it's just Pete that drives me nuts. But, Mitch, on this thing, you've got me so hot and bothered, dude. I wish you could see me right now in my basement watching golf on my computer and getting frustrated.
Well, good. Life has been too easy for you as of late.
Yeah, JP, how's that tournament going? Is Kuchar still winning?
Yeah, Pete, you're kind of making it not very time sensitive here, though, buddy.
I know, but I think it shows that we're authentic golf fans if we talk about it.
Okay, I'm sure anybody gives half an F that we're authentic golf fans.
You know, why don't you just go do your podcast with Steve Doctor since you guys are best friends all the time?
I'd rather do it with the aliens because they're going to take over our spot if you keep interrupting me. All right, it's time to do dumb stuff. I want to thank the good folks, Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. You guys should do the same. Also, be sure to come to William Jeffries Tavern Thursday night, January 17th, starting at 7 o'clock. It's going to be a fun night. All right, I got a bunch of shtick things here that I want to discuss.
Woo-hoo!
All right, everybody had a snow day. Let's do a quick rate the snow day. I'll start with mine. We had a lot of fun. Took Shelby sledding. The new baby's just way too young. She can't even leave the house. She can't leave the house if it was a 70-degree day, let alone freezing cold and snowing. But Shelby and I had fun. I didn't do much sledding. I did a lot of shoveling, which kind of sucks. I'm starting to feel pretty old. I got an Instagram message from a dude that offered to start personal training me, which after shoveling my walk and like my back hurting, I think I might need. So that's where I am. I personally rate my snow day, which is ending with talking to you fools about quarterbacks and your intrepid disbelief in believing in a football team, in my basement. I'm rating my snow day a solid 4 out of 10 because I got to stay up till 3 a.m. tonight feeding this baby. So you guys are catching me on the losing end of this spiral, by the way.
That was great. That was really funny to listen to.
All right. Well, Pete, go ahead.
I stayed up till like 5 a.m. last night, so I slept in a pretty good amount. I woke up, sat on my couch. I watched the Chargers-Patriots game. Once I saw that was a total blowout, I took a nap. Woke up and caught the second half of Eagles-Saints, ordered some Uber Eats from McDonald's, even though the McDonald's is 3 minutes from my new apartment. It took an hour to get here. I had to be on the line with Uber Eats customer support to make sure my order was coming. It was a big fiasco, and then when I got here, I went onto my steps, and I slipped and fell in the snow, and the Uber Eats driver thought I really hurt myself, but the McDonald's was good, and I still haven't shoveled my driveway yet. I'm trying to avoid that. I'm hoping maybe it'll just melt overnight, but I'm beginning to realize it's not going to happen. So my car is still totally buried, but I don't know. It was a very quiet snow day. So no, I did not go out. I don't know if that makes me lame. I had a really good night last night, but I don't know if that makes me lame.
Stop talking
today.
Pete. Mitch, when do we let you go and then we start talking to Pete, or what do you want to do?
Yeah, I'll be real quick. I got up this morning. I helped some neighbors shoveled out. I helped some neighbors shovel. Had a little snowball fight with the guys. Went over to Buddy's house. Lit a nice fire, watched some football, drank a few beers. It was a
was that the picture of the cheese tray you sent us?
Yeah,
very classy.
It was a very classy group. We had some nice crackers and cheese and dips of various sorts.
Nice crackers.
Crackers and cheese. It was a perfectly nice, relaxed Sunday.
Mitch, who did you have a snowball fight with?
Yeah, what the hell?
So, like, you guys know how my little cul-de-sac area is?
Yeah.
So there were people that were shoveling out around the cul-de-sac, and as the plow was coming through to clean out the street, we kind of started throwing some snowballs at the plow guy, and then turned into us throwing snowballs at each other, and it wasn't a big snowball fight, but it was kind of a fun little neighborhood bonding.
What did the plow
you guys are really
guy,
happy out there.
What did the plow guy think of you throwing snowballs at him?
He was laughing. He enjoyed it.
Sure. I'm sure you should be distracting a guy using heavy machinery.
Oh my!
I mean,
God.
it was like a Dodge Ram that had a snowplow on it. For the record, I love the snow. I am all in on snowball fights anytime, anywhere. So if we end up in that situation, boys, be ready.
I hate cold weather.
Was it good packing snow, Mitch?
It was good snowball snow.
It is good snowball snow. But Mitch, if you throw a snowball at me and it hits me, I'm going to be. I'm like on the verge of losing it on a million different levels right now, and I don't want to be hit by a snowball, just to be clear.
Really?
I mean, I don't know. I think you and I could – if Pete hit me with a snowball, I might react differently. I'd be all right if you hit me with a snowball.
We got to bring like childhood JP, 8-year-old JP back out, ready to have a little bit of fun.
I like the snow, but I just hate the cold. Whatever, though.
I'm not blasting you in the face. I mean, they're body shots only.
All right.
One quick snowball thing. My brother used to, in my backyard, would pack his snowballs with my dog's poop and then throw them at me, and it was very traumatizing.
That's incredible.
Yeah, he was a really funny older brother. He tormented me in a lot of ways.
I love that guy. What's his name? Dan?
Nick.
Nick. Nick. I'm a big fan
what a
of
guy.
Nick Haley. All right, so let's do this. So Pete had his big housewarming party Saturday night. None of us were able to attend. Maybe we'll be there Thursday night after the William Jeffries. We'll find out. So I think you're incredibly lame for how you handled the snow day. But if the party was that big of a hit and you can explain yourself, then I'm going to walk back how lame I think you are.
Yeah, I mean, it was a total smash. We were a little worried about the snow affecting the turnout, but we had like a good 15 people over. We
15?
Rearranged the... It was a smaller group, and then we all went out.
Hold on,
kind of the
hold,
bar.
Just hold on. Mitch?
We don't live in a massive mansion.
Pete, just hold on. Mitch,
okay.
The kid had a party with 15 people there.
I was going to let the kid go on this one, but I go for it.
15, Pete? I thought you'd say 40.
Okay, couple things here. Number one, it would have been a bigger attendance if you, AJ, Mitch, everybody showed up.
If a bunch of 30-year-old dudes showed up, that's what you need?
Well, I also invited a bunch of people from work, and they were working the effing Caps or Wizards or Valor or whatever game was going on last night. It was the exact number we wanted. We can't have, like, 30 people. It's not the biggest.
You just said you wanted me and Mitch to come.
I know, but I can't have massive crowd. I thought it was a very good group, some high school friends, some girls we know, this and that. It was a good squad. We played a bunch of drinking games. The place was ravaged. We went out to bars. We came back here. We had a post game, more drinking, more debauchery. It was a A+. Everyone enjoyed it. It got rave reviews. Everyone loved the apartment. It was perfect. And I don't care what you say, it was the right amount of people. So
did your neighbors knock on the door, or were the cops called?
We got, I think we got one neighborly complaint from the people below us. I think they're like kind of a family. I haven't met them yet, but they definitely have kids. So I don't think they love that we were playing music at like 11:30, but it was a Saturday night. So I kind of think you have to give us a pass until around midnight. And it's also the housewarming, so it's okay.
Good. Wow. Housewarming has to have at least one complaint, so I'll give you that.
Thank you. You guys can, you missed out. I'll just say that. It was a really fun time, and it was exactly what I wanted, and I can't wait to host more.
So much like Mitch's contention that the Redskins were really good at 6-3 and are right there to compete for next year, yet they don't need to take a quarterback because they're going to fall apart, and why would you do that? Much like
you're just going to conflate my argument?
Much like the hypocrisy there. Pete, how can you say you had the perfect amount of people, yet you were upset that me, Mitch, and AJ weren't there?
It could have been three people bigger. It would have been great, but like I said.
Yeah, but me and Mitch are big people.
I know. And also, I totally understand you guys not wanting to come, JP, seeing as you had a child. And Mitch,
I wanted to come.
Okay. You did send a very nice text, which I showed to people. I was like, look how classy my coworker is. He just had a child. He's apologizing for not coming and drinking PBR and playing Slap Cup with me. That's my close friend right there. So that got some appreciation. But it would have been the perfect people if you, AJ, and Mitch were there. But I was still content with the group I had.
I hope the people at NBC Sports Washington that weren't able to come. Yo, Mitch, by the way, did you notice Pete throwing some shots at the Valor right there? Dude was so gung-ho when he covered the Valor.
No, the Valor is what gave him his shot on TV, Ash. I don't know that I'd be poo-pooing that, Pete. Where would you be?
I know, that was a little unwise. I'm throwing up the V right now for the Valor. I had a T-shirt in my closet. That was stupid of me, and I apologize. I acted out of turn.
Mitch, how long until Pete's taking shots at us? Like March?
I mean, I'm sure he already does, not to our face.
Right. Not publicly yet, but like when he starts the podcast with the aliens in April, all he's going to do is shit talk you and I.
Yo, how much are the aliens going to shit talk Pete? They're going to be like, Earth, this is what you have to offer us?
All right.
Yo, those aliens would have showed up to my pregame, though.
Was it a pregame or a party, you nerd?
It was a housewarming pregame because the main point was to go out on U Street.
Oh, boy.
I can't believe, honestly, living in the district, and JP touched on it earlier, that your first real snow day in the district, you didn't go out and have some fun. I mean, that is like
snow days prime would be time day to go out.
Walking, going to bars, going bar hopping. Hell, you can make fun of me all you want. Having a ginormous snowball fight in DuPont Circle or the National Mall. Did you guys see that today?
No.
Mitch's obsession with snowball fights is weird.
You know how much fun it is to be drunk and throw snowballs at strangers?
I just prefer to be drunk. I don't need the snowballs part.
Pete is a loser. I'm sorry, buddy. You're
not
guy.
True. I went out Friday and Saturday, and then there's NFC, there's football to watch today. Why would I need to go?
You took a nap. You already told us you took a nap.
Good point. Damn it.
All right, we're done here. January 7th, Thursday night, William Jeffries Tavern, Arlington. We want to see you guys there. It's going to be a blast. We'll get the podcast back going. Maybe we'll all be back in Bethesda offices if the snow ever lets up. And anybody, anything to say here, gentlemen?
Yeah, JP, for all of us, please try and get some sleep. Get some reasonability in your head. Maybe you can clear out the cobwebs and the baby brain can kind of go away and we can start having some reasonable conversations on this podcast.
When does Pete have to stop saying his new apartment? I think we're getting close.
Soon.
It's been a month or so. So when I need to stop saying it, let me know.
Yeah. Oh, it's been a month? Then you it's just your apartment, dude.
Yeah. And you had your housewarming party.
That's a good point.
The housewarming is at the end of it.
It's officially just my DC apartment. Okay, understood.
Just say it's your apartment, you nerd.
Just your apartment, yeah.
No, I like saying DC apartment, sorry. That's going to stay.
That implies you have another apartment.
Yeah. Maybe I do. That's my Miami apartment. This is my DC apartment.
Fine, my apartment. That is super snowy and that I don't know how to handle with the shoveling and the car and everything.
Oh, yeah. We glossed over it, but you fell in the snow again? How do you not know how to walk in the snow?
Yeah, it's not even icy, you idiot.
What's pathetic is that the staircase is literally two stairs, and I slipped on the first one.
Dude,
unbelievable.
The aliens don't even want you on their podcast.
That's fine, because this podcast is life. Pod is life.
All right, we got to go. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back as news falls in. I think there'll be a little bit of defensive coaching news this week. From what I'm hearing, we'll be back when that happens. As always, you made it this far. I owe you a beer.